guys. Welcome to the show. This is Into the Apocalypse. Today we're releasing a special swapcast we got the chance to do with False Reality Check. There are married friends, Buffalo and Legs, out there trying to make it happen in Southeast Idaho. And they were nice enough to have Chud X and I on the show, and we were just able to relax, kick back, have a fun conversation about anything we wanted to talk about, and it was a lot of fun. We had a really great time. I always love talking to those guys, and they're doing big things. They just released an episode the other day talking about what's in store for them for the future, and we're really happy for them that they're trying to grow and do something different, you know, and innovating, and hopefully we can be a part of what they're doing in some way. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But other than that, I'll get some business out of the way real quick, and then I'll get you guys to the show. So, guys, we're a value-for-value show at the moment. We might be adding an advertiser soon, but not yet. And, yeah, so anything that you guys can give us helps the show grow and bring you more episodes. And, yeah, just give us some value back. It's not a ton of time it takes us to make the show and not a ton of effort, but it is definitely something we do, and we've been cranking out a ton of episodes. So if everybody just gave a little bit every once in a while, it would really help us out. You know, if everybody gave $1 per episode, that'd be fantastic. But we want to thank everybody that does consistently give to the show, and we have an executive producer. This show is going to be Dana Ramoni. I think that's how you say it. And Dana sent us a really kind email. I read it on an episode that I'll release later on, but it was really touching and emotional for me. So thank you so much, Dana. You're the executive producer on this episode, and stay in contact. We'd love to hear you, and I know you're close by me, so maybe someday we can meet in person, come out and check out the farm or something like that. Other than that, you guys know how to get a hold of us. Everything on the Deborah Gets Red Pilled RSS feed that you're already on right now. We're on Twitter, Deborah Gets Pilled. We're on Instagram, and we have an email, DeborahGetsRedPilled@protonmail.com. So send us out some emails, tell us who you want to hear, and oh yeah, one more thing, and then I'll get you guys out of here, I promise. The second fermentation workshop that Lanny, aka Mrs. Chud X, is putting on will be this Sunday, the 5th, at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Times. And I will have all the links for that, how you can sign up for that. It's going to be rad. It's going to be fermented vegetables or fermented beverages. So she's going to talk about kvass, kombucha, ginger beer, ginger bugs, I don't even know what that one is yet, and tepache, which is the most delicious fermented beverage I've ever had. It's fermented pineapples. I've got some questions on that, on how to do it safely if we can't get good organic pineapples where I'm at. So I've already kind of got into that with Lanny a little bit, but I'd like a little more info and clarification. But that's what I'll be asking. I'll be there. A bunch of other people will be there. Deborah was gonna come, but she can't make it. But yeah, so guys, interact with us as much as possible. Get in that Telegram chat. Link for it is in the show notes, and all the links for Lanny's thing is going to be in the show notes. And yeah, we love you all. We're really happy to be making a difference in people's lives, and you guys are definitely making a difference in our lives, and we're really grateful for each and every one of you that have stuck around, and for the new people that are finding the show and enjoying it and contributing. Yeah, the best way to contribute is in that Telegram chat, guys. So that being said, guys, here is our swapcast with False Reality Check, one of hopefully many to come. All right, thanks, guys. Bye.
Life is made of experiences, conversations, and stories. You're not going to find these by laying back and letting Netflix, Hulu, and Disney program your reality.
You got to get out there and experience life for yourself. You got to seek those experiences, join those conversations, and listen to those stories that tell a vision and Black Mirror devices don't want you to seek.
Welcome to False Reality Check, a podcast where the only rule is you must be your real, authentic self.
I'm Buffalo.
And I'm Legs.
Join our conversations as we learn about and break down the lies we've been sold. Laugh, cry, and think with us and our friends as we discuss how we can liberate ourselves from this false reality, one conversation at a time.
Welcome to another episode of False Reality Check. I'm Buffalo.
And I'm Legs. Hello.
I'm pretty excited for today's episode. We have two guys who are truly good people coming on, and they're on that road that both of us are traveling on. Some of them are further down that road than the rest of us, but we're all learning from each other. Behind one of these young men is a wonderful flowing beard. His name is Chud X, and he has a bright curiosity and a warm wit as he co-hosts Into the Apocalypse and the World as It Is Today. And of course, there's Adam. Oh, Adam, you are the reason we are up in Idaho. Our timeline went from 2 years to 6 months to 2 months, then 2 weeks. And you were part of the reason why we created this show to begin with. You're part of the influence behind us moving to the state of potatoes. So please welcome the wonderful Adam and Chud X from Into the Apocalypse.
Hey, thanks for having us, guys. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. That was a really nice intro.
Yeah. We love you guys, man.
Yeah, we were watching, before we popped on the episode, the guy that got punched by Buzz Aldrin.
Bart Sibrel.
Oh, Bart Sibrel, yeah.
Yeah, we were checking that episode out, and all your guys' episodes together, you have a great dynamic, and it just works. And it when Deborah pops on too, the flow gets even better, but you two together is a great fit for sure. Big fan of the show.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. I think me and Adam meeting was nothing less than fate. You know, I don't believe in coincidences anymore. It was a synchronicity. We both were on the same stream at the same time with Monica Perez talking about homesteading. And, you know, we got to chatting in the sidebar because we realized we were both in the Northwest. And then Adam eventually came to my place and we met in real life. And, yeah, I think it was just an instant rapport that was destined to be.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it, Adam, when you guys first met up and you guys had gone, you were selling your house. You and Emily were selling your house and you were going to do some traveling. You're coming back towards where you live and Chud invited you guys to come stay there. Could you tell us about
I invited myself.
Oh, you invited yourself. Oh, okay.
I was communicating with his wife, Lanny, the whole time. I hadn't met him except for in that Monica Perez thing. So
nice.
Yeah.
So, and at that point too, I had never listened to Deborah Gets Red Pilled. It, as it gets mentioned from time to time, I don't have a smartphone, so I have to get my podcast just a slightly different way. And for some reason, Deborah Gets Red Pilled was like the only podcast that I was ever interested in that wouldn't play on my device.
I was producing them like on my podcast production app with like the high quality. Like I don't know what format it came out in, but I guess
I needed something lower fi.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that made it was interesting upon meeting you, Adam, you know, because, you know, I said, yeah, I've heard you have a podcast and it looks cool. You know, like I looked at all your guests. There were a lot of people I recognized and whatnot. I knew it would be great. But I, you know, as we met, as we talked that whole night, you know, I'd still never heard it. I'd never heard Deborah's lovely voice or or your guys's dynamic or any of that. It was shortly after you left, like maybe the day after you split from here, that I used something. I figured out a way to like convert the files. I was like, okay, I gotta check this guy's stuff out. And I fell in love with the podcast instantly. You know, not just for the, what was obvious, what I knew I would like, you know, looking at the people they were talking to, I knew that there was something to it that I would dig, especially being a ANCAP, anarchist, agorist, whatever. You know, I could see that was definitely there, but I was just enamored by the intros, the first, you know, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever it was for each one. And, cause it would be, they'd be talking about current events and, you know, I'm just listening to random episodes and I'm like, oh, I remember exactly when they must've recorded this, because this is just like the conversations I would be having. Well, not exactly, because I didn't have a Deborah in my life that I could talk to about these things, but Adam's words were just like things I was saying at different times. So I could identify, oh, this must've been, you know, I couldn't say the date, but I could say, this must have been when these things happened. I went through this exact same thought process, and it really revealed itself to me that, like, wow, me and Adam have a lot in common as far as the way we process things.
Yeah,
I think that's what contributes to the flow so well, and the fact that you guys get along. It's like, I mean, dare I say it? It's like a bromance. But we're watching it and we're hearing it, so it's flourishing. I can tell the bromance is flourishing. But it's been really good to get you guys in there, and I feel like you both come at it from the same angle, but you've approached it from different paths. Like Adam, you kind of came from the Bernie Bro path, right? Where it was, we were all, you know, I was kind of like that path too, where we were all for Bernie, and then they fucked him up and they didn't let him go any further, and then you realize like it's all a con. And then Chud, you came from it from a different angle, right?
Yeah, I came from it from an anarchist who probably more identified as a liberal when I was young,
okay,
to not identifying as a liberal anymore. So I don't know that I identified as, but I definitely spent more time listening to conservatives than liberals for a while. And that led me to libertarians by the time.
Were you first Ron Paul or second Ron Paul?
First Ron Paul.
Yeah.
First Ron Paul.
If Ron Paul would have been around when I started paying attention, I would have been a Ron Paul guy. That's how it worked.
That 08 Ron Paul run was what introduced me to the word libertarian. And I went, oh shit, there's something I can actually identify with as opposed to this, I'm not liberal, I'm not conservative. There's an organized group of people, which now I go, God, those organized people. But I think, at the time, it was a relief to find.
I think most younger-ish people that came into where we're at now through libertarianism, the first wave were Ron Paul people, and I think a lot of the second wave were probably Bernie people. So
yeah.
I think if like the people that were Bernie people, if Ron Paul would have been around for that, I think they might have gone that way.
Because as a Ron Paul guy, boy, did I ever have sympathy for the Bernie Bros. You know, I didn't like their arguments. You know, like it's like something I would say all the time was like, I really think that Bernie Sanders should be running for president. People are like, oh, are you a Bernie guy? Oh, no. I will turn on him on like a dime if he's actually in there. Like, trust me, I hate everything he has to say. But I really understood that concept of him being pushed out. You know, in 2016, like what happened there, that was criminal. More people agree with that now than did at the time, though. I don't know if you guys have noticed that.
Oh yeah, it's completely changed. And I wouldn't say I was like a super strong Bernie guy. I think a friend gave me a sticker and I had it in my cubicle at work, and people would be like, oh, so you like Bernie? I'd be like, yeah, you know, he's all right. But
I was giving money every paycheck. I was giving him weekly. I was giving him
shit.
25 bucks a week or something like that.
Damn.
You
know? Oh shit, Adam, you were in it. I didn't think. Yeah,
I was a brainwashed union member, commie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man. I don't think I've ever contributed to anybody's political campaign at all, ever. So yeah, I do have that.
I don't
going
think
for
I
me.
Did either. Yeah.
Wow. I contributed to the 08 Ron Paul. And I still get mail because I did that.
Nice. Oh my God. Yeah, once you're in their system, they will not let you free. We still get our ballots from Orange County.
We got our ballots the other day from Orange County, California. That's so ridiculous.
So we could vote in the election in California if we really wanted to.
Yeah, it's funny.
You're not California resident, so you have like Idaho driver's licenses and stuff?
Yeah, I had to give up my California driver's license.
Yeah.
Dude, that's fucking...
You know, I'm pretty sure they're cool if you vote. Like a few times, like
seriously, yeah,
and they actually put our address here.
The system isn't that tight. I don't know if it's like just not that tight. You can kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah,
and it's like Ricky Verandas was saying that like his like relatives in Portugal got stimulus checks,
from the U.S.
Yeah, they got $1,200 stimulus checks and they're not U.S. citizens and they live in Portugal. Somehow they'd been here for a few years at some time, moved back to Portugal and got stimulus checks.
They contributed to the campaign once and, you know, now that's going to follow them wherever they go.
Wow. I didn't hear that. That is not surprising at all. They're really trying to crash this thing. So they're just giving out money like Oprah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you guys follow it all? I didn't too closely, but I heard updates a few times when Crow was trying to send his stimulus back.
No.
It was man. He was trying. He refused it. I think he ended up keeping it, but he never like cashed it or
anything. Yeah, he still, cash still it. Has I it. Hearing him say that, yeah.
Yeah, because he kept sending it back and they kept sending it right back to him. Like he would send it with notes that would say like, I opt out. Like, I'm not interested in this. Like if I take this, I find that I'm contractually obligated to consider myself a citizen of the United States, you know, whatever awesome shit a guy like him would say. And they just kept sending it back to him.
Is he Korean?
Crow?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he's Asian American.
Huh.
Really? Where'd you get that from?
He looks kind of white.
I've never seen him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him. I watched his movie, the Shoot the Moon movie.
Oh, he's in that, huh?
Yeah, like that was the first, that was my introduction to Crow, was watching that. And there was a whole lot of footage of him, like close up.
Oh, okay.
Just talking into a camera. But I watched that and then I started listening to his podcast and I don't think I've seen his picture since then.
I found it through David Weiss's Flat Earth app.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah. Those two have to be tight buddies.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pull up
a picture of Crow 777. And I have a picture with a guy, like three guys around a podcast table. None of them look Asian to me.
Okay. All right. I'm wrong. I like to think of him as a Korean guy.
I think you can think of him as whatever you want, and it's all good. whatever he is, his words that he says are so spot on so often.
They do have meaning.
I love Crow. His words have meaning, guys.
Yeah.
Words have meaning.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong if he is Korean. Roof Koreans are pretty cool in my book. They stood up during the riots that we had in LA. So anybody that doesn't put up with shit, I'm all for them.
Even if he's not Korean, he's a rooftop crow.
He's a roof crow.
Oh my God. What is that? Bad jokes.
Yeah. What's with the bad jokes, guys? I'm the only dad here. I'm supposed to be the one telling bad jokes.
I mean, does it happen after the birth? Because I'm allowed one dad joke a day. She tells me
You gotta call them like uncle jokes or something.
Uncle joke. I am an uncle. I could do that.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm still a dad. I'm a dad of a dog and I got chickens. That counts, right? That's like kids. Yeah,
absolutely. Good enough.
You have to clean up after their shit. It counts.
Yeah. And at times you're going to have to wipe their butts. You guys had any pasty butt?
We did wipe their butt. Didn't we?
We had it had pasty butt a couple days after, but the other ones have been fine. That was like one time, took care of it, no issues.
We have this like little, so we have we got an extra chick with our meat birds. Our meat birds are red Big Red Broilers.
Yeah.
Big Red Broilers. And I forgot what they're crossed with, but they're hybrids themselves. So we get the free chick. And I thought the free chick would just be another Big Red Broiler. It's a completely different species. And it's we think it's a silver-laced Wyandotte. We think, just based on how we've looked at pictures of chicks, and it kind of looks like this chick.
Mixed in that with your meat birds?
Mixed in yeah, with the meat birds.
Yeah, it was a... It's a
so that's like a... That's a laying hen.
Yeah, exactly. It's a surprise chick is what it's called.
Yeah.
So we don't know what it was, but it definitely is a layer, we think, because it's... The size difference is just insane.
It's like this big.
And they're all a week old.
The meat birds are like this big.
Right.
Oh my God.
Those things. I hate those things.
They push them around.
Yeah, their feet are just massive. When we were
Got any ones that have their legs grown backwards yet?
No, I don't think so. Is that a normal thing?
It happens, yeah. Because they grow so fast, if like their leg gets like tweaked like a tiny little bit, like the next day it'll be like growing fucking all fucked up. I had one, and you're supposed to kill them when you did that. I had one that when we let go all the way, and it was pretty disturbing. It like couldn't really walk. It was gross, man.
Oh, sounds God. Freaky.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's common just because they grow so fast that like if some weird little thing happens with their leg, like it'll grow the wrong way.
Shit. It's kind of reminding me, I just watched Old, the new M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, is that the one on the beach?
Yeah.
Is it good?
I loved it.
Okay.
I don't know if I recommend it for everyone, but I loved it. I like those M. Night Shyamalan movies though. It had a great vibe. But these what it is, you know, without giving anything away, it's without giving anything more away than is in the preview, people age at an incredible rate. So, and it's like all their cells are aging fast. So if you get cut, it immediately heals. So like if someone breaks their arm, it immediately heals in whatever direction it's at. So some weird stuff happens in this movie, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Whoa. Is it better than The Happening? Because that was a terrible abortion.
I thought it was way, way better than The Happening.
Which one was The Happening?
The trees killed you and the grass.
It was like a dust, like a poison coming off the plants.
I never saw that one.
Don't waste your time.
I liked, I did enjoy, a lot of people talk shit about The Village. I really enjoyed that one.
I like The Village too. I put this one on par and maybe a little better than The Village.
Cool.
I'll have to watch it then because I like The Village.
That is a good one. Unbreakable is pretty good too.
Yeah, Unbreakable is great.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear about that new movie.
I haven't watched all of his stuff by any means, but I know there are some people who really don't like maybe all of his stuff, and then some people who like certain ones and then just can't stand other ones.
It came into fashion just to like make fun of him and talk shit about him. And I think it just like somebody brought it up and then everybody talked shit and said he sucked, but...
I was kind of late to the game. I didn't really watch his movies too much until more recently. So a lot of them that I've seen are a little bit older. And I think I just have a different perspective than a lot of people did as they were new in the theater. When these twist endings just kind of, you know, was like seemed like a trend or something like that. Because it is true. He does seem to have a crutch of a twist. There's always a twist, you know.
he likes to liken himself to what's like Alfred Hitchcock, but he's not Alfred Hitchcock. It's there's so much more with those movies, at least to me, than with M. Night Shyamalan. I feel like M. Night Shyamalan is just working really hard to try and be like Hitchcock. You know the Pennsylvania thing that he does, right? Like where he allegedly doesn't leave the state. Pennsylvania, and he rarely leaves Philadelphia or something like that. Like it's some kind of
Shyamalan?
Like, yeah, M. Night Shyamalan, because that's where he's from. I guess I'm not.
Okay.
I saw there's like some. I'm not sure if it's a fake documentary about him or it's a real documentary that they unintentionally made to look fake, where he doesn't ever leave that area. That's the area that he stays in.
Like that.
But I'm like, he has to go to premieres and stuff. So aren't those premieres like in New York and like LA and all the places?
I think so.
So wouldn't he? So he just doesn't go to his own premieres?
Maybe he's not a real person. Doesn't.
He's like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I like it.
He could be like Elon Musk. Not real.
Is Elon Musk a real person or is he a fake person?
I think he's fake and gay, but
I thought about him being fake. I think he's asexual. I think he's more of a Morrissey than like full on like a Freddie Mercury.
Morrissey's asexual? Yeah. I didn't know this.
Oh yeah.
So he
fully asexual.
Like yeah. he doesn't believe in that sex can happen?
I just think he's not interested.
I think the idea would be that you never are you have no.
That's what the A is. That's what the LGBTQA is.
They threw an A in there?
Yeah, and a plus.
I missed it.
What the fuck is a what is a plus?
Plus sign.
You know, all the other stuff under the sun. Look at your Facebook
furries options.
And weird.
It's like ultra plus, you know, just a little more.
You guys are ridiculous.
Oh my god. So what's your guys' favorite topic to talk about on the show when you get somebody, whether you have a guest or you don't have a guest, what's the thing that you love getting to that's the thing you could talk about for the rest of your life?
It seems like old world.
Old world, and then I still like to do geopolitical stuff. I like to talk Pizzagate and Franklin scandal. I mean that's like I said before, I've said it a bunch. You know, people say like what's your favorite conspiracy, and it sounds really weird to say like Franklin scandal, but it's like child rape is my favorite. Yeah. But that's the one I know the most about, and I like that one just because it leads you, well, you figure out who this guy Paul Benassi is, and it leads you down a gnarly rabbit hole of so much stuff of the 1980s that I can remember happening when I was, you know, an 8-year-old kid. So,
it's serious stuff too. I mean, it's where you feel kind of messed up by the end of it when you go down the pedophilia rabbit holes.
I mean, that one leads to, you know, Johnny Gosch and MK Ultra and Julian West and all this crazy stuff, you know, which will lead you down further and further and further. You get to Charles Manson, you'll get to the, you know, the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic, you'll get to all this wild, wild shit. But I you know, if I can get somebody on that can have an intelligent conversation and knows like a whole bunch about old world or earth-shaped stuff, I like that. I can't lead a conversation on earth-shaped stuff, but that's also one of my favorites as well.
Yeah, old world, earth-shaped/space, all things related to space, that is, which I see earth shape as. That's 100% a space issue from my perspective, you know, at least like tapping into my former self. I like so many other people, I was obsessed with space when I was a kid, and I not so much like everyone else, I got obsessed on a secondary level when I was in my 20s. I really, really, really dug space, and yeah, I felt very foolish at another point in my life, looking back on how much time I spent contemplating space, which is not all for naught, because I don't know, I'm really open-minded, you know, like I'm on this space is possibly fake kind of a kick. In fact, to the point where I'm saying, you know, I think it's very likely that space as a concept was fabricated and fed to us. I can see that it could be propaganda, but I don't know. I could be led around back the other way at some point.
For sure. We'll get back to the space topic. I had a question for you guys in terms of the old world and Tartaria. And there's this whole, I guess the whole thing is the civilization was highly advanced and there was this consciousness link between everyone. And it was just, I guess if you want to say Garden of Eden, it was just heaven on earth type world. Do you think, and when do you think this whole child sacrifice and pedophilia thing came about? Do you think that existed in the old world? Was this something that just happened after the catastrophe took out the old world? What are your thoughts?
I've never considered pedophilia in Tartaria.
Well, yeah. the way you put that just now, first I want to say I am moving. I don't know that I'm moving away, but I'm less inclined to think that Tartaria was a perfect place than I was maybe a year ago. I was really trying to picture a Garden of Eden world of perfection. Garden of Eden plus Antiquitech, you know, was kind of the concept that I was playing with a lot. Now I've got that a lot more up in the air. We've been talking with Emmanuel Kingman a lot, and he's presenting the Christ's millennial kingdom concept to us, which is that there was a 1,000-year reign of Christ, which would have been a form of perfection, although I don't think it would necessarily be that Garden of Eden type perfection. But that basically we've already been through the book of Revelation, and that there have been particularly during the 19th century, there were a series of events that he thinks lines up with the biblical predictions of essentially the apocalypse, and that Christ was in charge, and now that it doesn't happen overnight, but like the barrier has been broken and more of the other side is taking over as we speak.
Satan has been unleashed from the pits of hell.
Jesus was in charge. Now Satan is coming back. He's not necessarily fully in charge, but he's on his way. And if in this scenario, if you think about it, well, I'm going to say child molestation would be in there, you know, that maybe that wasn't happening 200-300 years ago. And then 200 years ago, it was starting to happen. 100 years ago, it was getting worse. By now, it's what our worst nightmares could be of it.
Yeah, it's borderline legal now. Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, other than my limited experience with the Left Behind series, I have no concept for like the 1,000-year reign of Jesus and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure most of that is not directly taken from Revelations, but dramatized, I guess you could say. I remember, Adam, you were saying in another one of your shows that you're going to start going to Orthodox Church. What pushed you to go to that? Because that's not, like, you usually don't go, like, some people would consider Orthodox almost extreme to one end of the spectrum of Christianity versus like a casual, like a, you know, like a evangelical church. What made you go that route?
I've got no interest in doing some sort of like watered down. If I'm going to do something, I don't want to do like some watered down, like fake bullshit, rock and roll church, like trans preacher, abortion's cool type thing. Like if I want to go do Christianity and explore like traditional Christianity, I want it straight from the source, the real deal. And I think that's like the most hardcore one that you can do. That's the same as it was when it started. And those people have like rejected, you know, all this other fucking woke bullshit that all these Protestant faiths and the Vatican. I want nothing to do with Catholicism. I grew up in that fucking cesspool, and like I don't want anything to do with that. Although it was cool to see the Archbishop of San Francisco deny Nancy Pelosi communion because she's endorsing abortion. I mean, that's a step in the right direction. I'm pretty sure I thought I'd seen like the Pope say that abortion's cool like recently. They're saying in the articles I read that the Vatican says it's not, but like I said, I'm kind of an extreme guy, and if I want to go explore something, I want to do the real deal.
So this is more like you dipping your toes into this isn't like a commitment. This is like, I'm going to try and see what this has to offer.
I haven't even been yet. So yeah, I haven't committed to anything.
Adam.
Yeah.
I know that he's, we all view Thaddeus Russell a little bit different than we used to.
Yeah. But he had a little bit of a oopsie moment.
Uh-oh. Did you hear a while? It was maybe into COVID, but not far maybe a little before COVID, he had Tom Woods on once to talk about Orthodox Christianity and what that meant and all of that.
I did listen to him when he had Tom Woods on, yeah. But I don't remember what they talked about as far as faith.
It was the whole thing. All he did the whole time was talk about his church and his faith. And Thaddeus asking, I don't know if Thaddeus is or was an atheist direct, but he was asking questions from a very atheist point of view. And Tom Woods made an awful compelling argument that the Orthodox, I think he's Orthodox Catholic.
I think he's Catholic, yeah.
But it's like an Orthodox Catholic that has nothing to do with the Vatican. Like they've separated, like his church is completely separated from any other church organization. And they base all of their stuff on more ancient scriptures and things like that. Like, I don't know. It was compelling at the time. It was a couple of years ago though. So it's not fresh in my mind, but I know Thaddeus might not be anybody's favorite guy anymore, and it's old, but that might be something worth digging up. I think that they talk about exactly what you're thinking about doing right now.
Cool. Yeah, I'd be into it because I could relate probably better to that as well, because I know the ins and outs of Catholicism as a faith.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll because a big what he really stressed in that, if I remember, was how different their Orthodox Catholic Church was than the Catholic Church, and that there was almost no resemblance in the two. So I don't know, something worth looking at.
I'll check it out. Maybe I won't have to drive so far.
Well, I would imagine just the way I'm remembering it, I would imagine there are like three of these churches in the United States.
Yeah.
Like probably. And that they're completely separate from each other. And he happens to be at one of them. I think he might have started this from the ground up kind of a thing.
Because
it's not, you don't get to go to your local Catholic church and partake in what Tom Woods was talking about. If I remember and understood it correctly.
Interesting.
Okay.
Am I gonna
Our buddy Buck Johnson is coming on, I think, Monday. Is that tomorrow?
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah, he's coming on tomorrow to talk to us about the libertarian. I'm libertarian to libertarianism is gay to Orthodox pipeline tomorrow. So.
Great. So he's coming on to like diagnose you?
No, that's what he is. So he's like in the whole
post-libertarian
Orthodox
people being tired of libertarian and moving into Christianity.
I see. Okay. Am I going to regret asking what did Thaddeus Russell do that we should be upset with him over?
Well, it was weird that it came out when it did, because the clip that got him in trouble with was like a year old at the time when it came out. But he had some libertarian professor from New Jersey on, or State University, New York, somewhere. And they were like having like not even a debate, just agreeing with each other on how there should be like no age of consent laws, how it's pretty disturbing. You should go back. I mean, you can go back and listen to it. And then Dean Reiner also did a review of what he had said. But I mean, I don't think Thaddeus Russell wants pedophilia, but it's hard to say that the guy that he was talking to doesn't.
The other guy was really
Thaddeus Russell somewhat was a little too friendly and agreeable to the points the guy was trying to make.
They were talking about sexual advances on children as young as 1 year old. 1 year.
What the fuck?
One. Yeah. And Thaddeus is like going, yeah, yeah, no, totally, man. That's understandable. You know, we have to understand and accept all people's culture, no matter where they come from and things like that. It was too much. Like, I went into it pretty, oh, no, man, Thaddeus is cool, dude. That's my guy. you know, or maybe not my guy, but he's cool. You know, like, I never thought that I would change my opinion so sharply on the guy.
And it was crazy because right after this got dredged up, it was weird because it didn't happen right away. But after it got dredged up, he's like getting death penalties death threats and all this stuff from people on the internet. Michael Malice has him on to like defend his position. And he was still like saying like, what I'm arguing against is a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old and a 16-year-old and that guy having to be on a sex offender list for the rest of his life. But at some point, like Michael Malice says, well, is there anywhere, like, it's a tricky situation for people like us. Do you think the government should be involved in enforcing these age consent laws? And Thaddeus Russell said, I don't think so. I think it should be up to the parents when their child can be with an adult. And it was really fucked up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, because that's like how like you can go to Vietnam and like buy 8-year-olds from their parents, you know.
And I didn't listen to Michael Malice or the follow up, but I saw that Bob Murphy did an episode shortly after the Michael Malice, which was 27 times Michael Malice lied to, or I mean Thaddeus Russell lied to Michael Malice.
Oh wow!
So I think he probably went through it, and because
Bob Murphy already said he's Antichrist. Not the Antichrist, but Antichrist.
Antichrist.
Yeah.
Bob Murphy actually did an episode. I don't listen to Bob much anymore. Every once in a while I'll pop in. But I listened to an episode. He's always hated Thaddeus Russell. He's just always had a hatred for the guy, it seems. And when that pedophilia episode came out, I didn't hear the unregistered episode, but I did listen to Bob Murphy's Bob Murphy did a whole episode about it, maybe a short episode, like a 20 or 30 minute one. And it made me, I wasn't totally against Thad when I listened to Bob Murphy's. I thought maybe I could understand, you know, from an intellectual point of view, what Thad was saying, but he did not dig up nearly all of the horrible things that like the 1-year-old stuff didn't come up the whole time. He really, Bob Murphy back then really softballed it. And I think he probably just didn't want that kind of talk on his feed, period. Like he didn't want to dig it up to show anyone how bad it was. He just wanted to surface level show you, hey, I think that Thaddeus Russell, maybe not that he thinks that he's a pedophile, but that he's certainly okay with pedophilia. And I came off it going, yeah, I don't know, man. I've always said I hate talking about this stuff. Like, because I don't know, I'm an anarchist. I don't think there should be laws. I don't. But I don't want to go any further than that. I'm done. You know, like, I don't know. You know, it's because I guess I think that, but you know,
that's where the issue is with anarchy, is there has to be some sort of moral tradition, in my opinion, for an anarchistic society to work. And yeah. I remember when I was a little bit deeper into it and like liking to defend just straight anarchy without any like subjective morality. I remember Jack Allen like making this argument like there needs to be like an organized religion. I can't remember if he said religion or Christianity for it to work. And I was just like, no. And it's like, no, I hear you. That's totally right.
Everyone needs to be like have good, strong moral codes. We all need to recognize. We all need to recognize that we have the divine spark of humanity in us, and that that's good, and that we're not bad. But it's I don't know. Everything is so twisted up at this time that it's pretty ridiculous to entertain thoughts of that. Like, yeah, we should just do away with those laws. You know, we should let those people do whatever they want.
I'm totally in agreement with you, Chad, where I'm like, I recognize the divine spark in everybody except for pedophiles. Mm. I do not recognize any divine spark in them. In fact, I recognize like the dead eyes and the lack of that spark of divinity in right. them. And I'm just like you. I don't believe there should be laws. I also hate this type of argument that, well, if there's no laws, if there's no government, then, you know, pedophilia, okay, right? And it's like, no, it's not, because even if there is no law, there's still law enforcement in the term of tradition. Like if you have a cultural tradition, or like you said, Adam, if you have a religious tradition or a morality that everybody follows, right, there's still a tradition. So if you harm the weakest amongst us, which is children, the men of that group are probably going to take you and kill you. That's the punishment that you get. I just think that's more of a directed punishment.
That's what has to happen. The rest of society has to have a strong enough moral code that the child molester either can't function as such, or if they do function as such, they will no longer function. If you know what I mean. And I think you do.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Wood chippers.
Wood chippers.
Feet first.
Dang, you're not even going the Fargo route. You're going the opposite route.
Yeah.
She agrees, so she says, okay, we can do it that way.
Dick first.
Yeah. It's hard to find a hopper big enough to get in from, you know, the full body for the, yeah, never mind.
You got to use one of those, like, those big wood chippers that they put the whole logs in. Then you can just
shove it. There we go. Yeah. There we go. Those are expensive even to rent, though.
Yeah. In a full free market anarchistic society, the Asplund tree trimmer company would be chipping up pedos on the side, too. It'd be like, we got to go trim this guy's
tree over here. We got a couple pedophiles over.
We got this guy with the mustache over here. We got to throw in the chipper. Okay.
I'm glad you brought up that Asplund company, because that stupid company would come out and trim the palm trees in front of the yard all the time, and I'd be like, what do these guys do? This is all they do. But they could totally pivot and do that, and I'd be fine with
it. They could have two functions.
Yeah.
They don't need those to guys be are awesome here.
If you need wood chips, they'll just come by your house at the end of the day and dump them in your driveway.
Hey. I want to get a wood chipper.
Yeah, me too.
It's on my
Oh, I was looking into getting PTO ones.
Yeah.
For the they're like $2,600 new. Mm-hmm. My friend Sylvia, and this is going a real weird conversation. We're going from killing pedophiles to tractor implements. So
tractor implements, and aren't wood chips great, guys?
They're fantastic for your beds.
Yeah, you just gotta be careful.
True, but I've heard that pedophiles make great compost.
Yeah. You only want to use them around the perennials, though. You don't want to use them around like your leafy greens and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's just the same thing as the spinach.
Like hue manure.
It's the same thing as spinach. You don't want like some dude taking a shit in the field and then everybody get E. coli. You know?
Yeah.
You don't want that to happen.
And after I said that, it's funny to say, but then I think, you know what though? I wouldn't want to eat any food that was grown in compost made from a child molester. I don't.
Good point.
It's waste.
It's bad energy.
Yeah, you don't want putting that into your whole system, your system of your garden and your food.
That's what you could feed. You could feed it to the other pedos that are waiting to get chipped up.
There we go.
To sustain them until the reckoning day.
Just get hogs. That's the whole. That's how you get rid of somebody. You have.
I don't
hogs.
Want to eat hogs that ate a pedo either.
You don't have to eat the hog. You just have to have the hogs to get rid of the pedo.
Oh, that's not my eating hogs. That's my pedo.
Those are my pedo hogs. Feed them dick
the
first.
The hogs are over on the north side, south side. That's where we keep the pedo hogs. Yeah. You don't want to eat those.
The pig farm.
This is getting strangely Hannibal Lecter-ish.
What is
then
the
why
best?
Why are we all laughing?
What is the best breed to take out a pedo? What do you think?
Oh, probably like a big ass Berkshire, right? That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm more just familiar with little homestead pigs like Coon Coon and Idaho pasture pigs. So I'm not the guy to ask.
We'd have to consult Willie Picton's family.
Yeah, we'd have to consult the Picton brothers.
Oh shit, I think I heard that last House on the Left episode. Like, that was one of my first entries, was the episode they did on that guy.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, those guys.
That was that was 35 miles from right where I'm at.
Oof.
That was very close.
That's a wild story, man. It's hard to find info on it, but
I think maybe it's next year, maybe it's this year. I think it's this year that he's supposed to be out. Yeah. They can't keep him in any longer.
Why they couldn't pin like murders?
Because it's like Canadian law, they can't keep anyone in jail for too long. Oh. And they barely tapped him. He barely got in trouble. It's insane what the final court decisions were.
Yeah, but they had like Justin Trudeau's dad had gone there and stuff, right? Like
he's super tied to the government. Well, not he. Like, he was a piece of shit, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he was an absolute piece of shit, probably even a serial killer, whose family had connections in high places. His sister is one of the head financial people for all of like the entire Canadian system up there.
Yeah.
His family made millions and millions of dollars off of his arrest and trial and all these things. His brother, who is at minimum equally terrible as Willie, he's still out and he still runs like something like 20 hotels in the really, really destitute Hastings district.
Oh, dude, I've been there.
You've been to East Hastings? That is,
yeah. Have you ever been down there?
Yeah, I've been there.
It's horrible. I've been to Emily used to live in the Tenderloin in San Francisco, and this
how would you compare it to the Tenderloin? I'd say it's on par.
I'd say it's worse, much worse.
Worse. Because, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know because I haven't seen the Tenderloin in the past 4 years since I moved.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it's gotten really, really bad. But yeah, equivalent or worse, probably.
Yeah, they're probably on par. It's probably worse up there too. It's been a long time since I've been there, but yeah, he still owns a bunch of. I mean, they're shady, from my understanding.
That's the prostitution area,
hotels.
That's like that whole like, I forget what they call it, but that's where all those Indian women are disappearing from up there, or First Nations as they call them up there, are disappearing up there.
Of the women that they pinned on, I say pinned on. Who knows what the real story is, but the people that most of the women that Willie Picton is considered to have killed were indigenous.
Yeah.
Most of them. And I think that it was all part. I mean, I think it was Epstein's Island. Imagine Epstein's Island for murder in Canada. That's what I think the whole Willie Picton thing was.
Yeah. Some hostile saw shit.
Yeah. Because he and his brother had a bar. Aside from his brother has all these hotels, and then they also had this really underground bar that was like unregistered entirely
on the property, right?
On the property, but way back on the property. But
and Hell's Angels and stuff were having big bashes there.
It was a 24-hour party. There were supposedly like 50 to 100 people there at any point in time. It was just constant around the clock prostitution. Drugs, like anybody in that region of Canada, that was the hub for where all the shit went down. And Willie Picton was the guy that nobody liked there, who slept in a freaking pile of shit trailer right outside of the place, and supposedly the whole time was murdering prostitutes that would come there. But I don't know. And he might have been doing that. I'm not saying that he didn't. I'm not defending the guy. But I think that at a minimum, there were a lot of other people. Anytime someone had a body, it went there. You know what I mean? In this really dark world where there would inevitably be lots of bodies, they went there and they were feeding them to the hogs. And that was one of the main suppliers of pork for that region.
Nice.
Oh, gross.
Was he like a clean? Do you think he was a cleaner, just for politicians?
Yeah.
pretty much.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think. And I if there's a darker side to it, I could almost see it as a place where really, really, really fucked up politicians, just like Epstein Island, where they would go there to do whatever they did there. I think maybe we had like a hostile, if you ever seen the movie Hostel, type of situation, right across the border from where I'm at over here.
Damn. So they're letting this guy out and Ted Kaczynski still not being let out.
Right.
And he didn't do anything wrong.
That's hard to say. Well, both of them are hard. All of these things are hard to say. I mean, who really knows what goes down? Like, once any kind of investigation on anything is out there, it's all tainted. We'll never know the real story. That's true. I do think it's notable. Someone should look it up. I'll look it up later. I think that Willie Picton's supposed to be free pretty soon, which is
devastating.
Oh yeah, hey man, come on, tell your side of the story. We know you were just a greasy, disgusting piece of shit who constantly spent all your time with prostitutes.
Well,
you didn't really kill him, did you?
When Scott was on Truthzilla still, he was like considering trying to get Paul Benassi on the show. He like friended him on Facebook and stuff.
Oh shit.
And like that guy's been to prison for child molestation.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's any truth to that whole like you repeat what happened to you, I mean that guy's the one that would become a child molester, you know? And I think his two old co-hosts said that they wouldn't do it. I was like, dude, if you ever talk to that guy, hit me up. I wanna do it too.
Well, for the record, I don't know if you feel differently. I could cross the bridge if we ever need to at the time, but I don't want to talk to any of these. I don't want to talk to anyone who's a murderer or pedophile I don't want to talk to the bad guys. You know what I mean? Like, even if there's like a possibility that they're not the bad guys, I don't know. That just seems like, I don't know, you're inviting bad stuff into your world by talking to people like that.
Yeah.
I feel that, but there's like a curiosity, like, well, like I just said, Ted Kaczynski, some people think he's a bad guy, but if he was like, I want Buffalo to talk to me and I want it recorded, I'd be like, fucking let's go to Colorado. Let's go right now.
Kaczynski is an absolute exception to that. Like Kaczynski, I say, well, you know, we don't know, but I think I know. I mean, I don't think that whether or not he did bad things, the guy was an MK Ultra victim. Like, that guy has a lot more of an interesting story to tell than anyone else that could be classified like this, as well as his manifesto is some of the best fucking writing I've ever read.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, I would. That would be an interesting conversation. And then there's also, what's his name, Ross Ulbricht, too.
Oh hell yeah,
he's another one.
That would be pretty cool.
But him is even more. Like, I don't even think he ever did anything wrong. Period.
Did you guys ever? Did I ever tell you guys the time I got into a DM fight with Tim Dillon over Ross Ulbricht?
No. What? Like, dude, the comedian Tim Dillon?
Me and Tim Dillon went back and forth with like 100 DMs once.
Oh, shit. All right, you got to tell us the story.
Because like on one of his shows once, he was saying that stupid shit that like, oh, Ross Ulbricht is in prison for life because he contracted somebody out to murder somebody. And it's bullshit. He never did that.
That didn't happen.
Yeah, he wasn't convicted of it. It wasn't even brought up in court. But it was... He was charged with it to like taint his name, you know, to make everything that happened to him be able to happen to him. And like Tim Dillon said it on the show, and I was like, hey dude, love the show, man, but your thoughts on Ross Ulbricht are totally wrong, man. You should like redact that statement, you know. And he was like sending me all these like articles from like the Huffington Post and stuff saying like what Ross Ulbricht had done and like, oh shit. And
yeah, send me more and more articles of people repeating what people have said.
Yeah.
Yeah, show like that's not going to I don't think that's going to sway you, Adam, or me, or any of us here. Like, you need to start. If you really want to convince us of that, you need to convince us that why did the court drop it then?
Like,
I don't know. I feel like any one of us could send him some. I mean, I'm sure you sent him stuff back that should have shut him up.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it didn't. You didn't sway him at all?
I don't know. I think he was dug in at that point. It was weird though, because it was when he had like a. It was when he was. Because I've been listening to Tim Dillon since like nobody knew who he was. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I found him because he was on Tinfoil Hat when he was still a conspiracy theorist, like way, way, way early in the Tinfoil Hat days. Like, you know, single digit shows or something like that. And I started listening to his podcast when he wasn't like, he hadn't like taken on the persona that he has now. He was like way more of like a dirty, like trucker type guy than like the whole like country club, like privileged Long Island dude thing that he does now, which is also hilarious. But it was strange, man. And this was like when he had become popular and he like wrote back to the DM that I sent him. So it was strange.
Yeah. That's weird. That must have, I mean, triggered. I thought the same thing about the guy. That's actually one of the reasons why we didn't buy Bitcoin when Bitcoin was like a first thing and you could get it for like $2 or some ridiculous price. Cause I thought, oh, it's only used to buy drugs. And the guy that sold all these drugs used Bitcoin. Cause I just watched the news and read Huffington Post, just like he sent to you. But the funny thing is like a lot of these writers of the initial articles are also, I don't know if you looked into this, Adam or Chud, but they're also linked to Chuck Schumer as well. Like, just like the judge is linked to Chuck Schumer, the articles that were written when they first started to come out about the Silk Road, those writers are linked to Chuck Schumer's office, either through like an aide that knows somebody or something like that. But that guy basically orchestrated this whole thing to put this kid in prison because he was doing the same thing and he got pissed that Ross Ulbricht was doing it better.
Yeah. I haven't heard that particular angle, but it's more to continue confirming my bias there.
Yeah. Oh no, did I taint your view of Chuck Schumer? He's such a wonderful patriot, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I liked Chuck Schumer until I found out that Amy Schumer was his niece, and then I was like, what? Ugh.
Are
like,
you serious?
They're cousins. I think they're like cousins. Second cousins or whatever, like something like that, you know.
Reasonably like close relatives.
Yeah.
Oh, that's man. Gross. That makes sense why she's so disgusting.
Yeah, she's pretty gross.
Yeah.
She does not. She does have a great documentary, I've heard, though, on Homebirth.
No.
Really?
I don't know.
I mean, I enjoyed.
I just heard that.
I enjoyed Trainwreck. I thought that was a funny movie. You guys ever see that one?
No.
I don't know if we
that's
have.
Like, that's
is that
like
the one where she's getting married or something?
It's the one with Bill Hader in it.
I only saw one movie with her. It might have been that. I more remember that Tim Heidecker was in it.
It's
like a brief role.
It's got LeBron James in it. It's got who's like super funny in it. It's got John Cena in it, who plays her undercover gay boyfriend. Like, it's pretty funny.
I didn't see this one.
I think we did see it a long time ago, but it's been a while. Yeah, because I remember John Cena being in it, and then LeBron being in it too.
What are you talking about? You can't see John Cena.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Huh?
They're like, what?
Chad didn't get that one.
Okay. Right over my head.
The thing is, you can't see John Cena because you can't see him. He always does that thing where he's
it's part of his wrestling. When he was a wrestler, it's part of his little thing.
Wrestling.
I'm with it now.
I feel like a 5-year-old because I'm like talking about wrestling and shit.
Yeah. It's okay. Speaking of 5-year-olds, so what is space to you guys?
When did that transition came?
I don't know. I just threw it out there.
5-year-olds love space.
Okay. Because we were young. We love space. But now, does space exist? Can we go out there? Is it just
No, we can't go to space. We can't go any farther than low Earth orbit.
I don't think anyone's ever done it. And this is what I don't know what space is, but this I think is telling. You guys understand how open I am about all these things and flat Earth and stuff like that, I assume, yeah. Right? I have been that way for pretty much my 8-year-old son's entire life, right? I've told him about space I have books about space that tell the regular model, the regular model, the academic model, the model that everybody knows.
And, the DeGrasse-Tyson model.
The DeGrasse-Tyson, as it is today. I also say, I don't know, you know, it's possible. I say some people think the Earth is flat. Some people think it's hollow. Some people think that space is liquid. Some people, you know, think that we're in a realm, you know, like I just throw all these things out there kind of beside that. And he's actually come around a little more very recently, but by the time he was 5 years old, he thought anything outside of the standard model was absolutely insane. That's because of the level of propaganda that is everywhere around him, teaching him what space is. In spite of having a close teacher of myself, like talking him through this through these developmental years, he still gets to the end of the day and he's like, "No, but I know how space works." Like he really thought. He's questioning it a little bit more again. He listened to Bart Sabrell's Moon Man book, and it really, really threw some questions in there. Because I've never really come at it hard. I've never told him we didn't go to the moon. I've never told him. I've told him some people think that we didn't go to the moon. I might be one of them, but I don't tell him, "Hey, listen, as your father, I need you to know that we didn't do this." I've never told him that the Earth is flat or hollow or any of these things. I'm trying to give him the most open options. And until Moon Man, and that might just be a passing phase, he's thought that anything outside of the standard model is absolutely ridiculous. Because he watches cartoons, because he sees Disney things. He can really picture the stuff that's in my DeGrasse-Tyson model books of the universe. He can't really picture a flat Earth. You know, he's never seen that depiction in a cartoon, not once, not ever. He's hardly seen a cartoon that doesn't depict the globe Earth moon model. And I'm serious about that too. It's crazy when you look at children's programming from a perspective of this. It's in everything. You're hard pressed to find any cartoon that doesn't at some point at least zoom the camera out far enough to show the Earth and then zoom right back in. Or any number of things like that. You know, traveling from planet to planet, you know, a lot of them are like deeply, deeply space related, but the only cartoon I think I've ever witnessed since I've had the eyes to see and the ears to hear is there's one Bugs Bunny cartoon where he argues with Christopher Columbus. Flat, round, and it's Bugs Bunny arguing that it's flat. That's it. That's it.
Oh man, that's something that I'm glad you're giving them like an open perspective, and you're not putting it like you must think it's this way because I think it's this way. You're just saying some people think it's this way, and it's, and I might be one of those people, but you believe what you want to believe, basically. That's such an open perspective. And I'm like, if we ever have kids, that's probably the perspective I'll take for most part, because I have no idea what it is. I feel like it's, all right, I'm going to throw this out there. Dangerous. Space is fake. It's not real. Space is, I don't believe space is a real thing, but I have the trouble with is it flat or is it hollow or is it a mixture of the two? And what about the black sun? Where's the black sun? Because allegedly there's two suns, right? I mean, Crow 777 always talks about it. And allegedly there's two moons. Yeah, he's photographed it. He's videotaped two suns.
I photographed
it. Oh, you photographed it?
Oh. Maybe. right, like, days before Crow said it. for real.
Oh shit.
It was spring equinox of 2021. I took a photo of the rising sun just after the full disc appeared. Cool. I set it as my desktop. It was, I don't know about days, but it was within a month of that Crow, the first time I'd ever heard this second sun theory, and he was describing where it would be like behind it. So it would be smaller and up and to the right, like a certain number of degrees. I don't know. He went real technical about it. And I was like, wow, man, that's crazy interesting. Crazy interesting. I listened to that and I thought about it all day, and I got home and I popped open my computer where that picture was. It's exactly as he described it in the photograph I took previous to that. And Lanny was there at that time. And that was some of the first close to sun gazing. I wouldn't quite call it that she did, but she looked at it a little more intensely than tradition tells you should look at the sun. And she drew what she could see when she closed her eyes an hour later. And that same second sunspot is there on her sketch. Wow. I don't know. I sent it to Crow and they said not good enough. It wasn't a properly taken photo to be of interest to him and Rose. But
did he say it in that exact same way?
Rose wrote back, thank you for sending this, but it does not meet our requirements for evidence, something like that.
One time I asked him to come on my show to talk about Tartaria.
Yeah.
And he wrote back, Tartaria is a subject I don't talk about. That's the email.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's rad.
Oh my gosh. That's very brief but concise.
Yeah.
Wow, do you still have this photo? Is it still floating around?
It's still on my desktop of my other computer.
Wow.
I'll send it to all three of you.
Yeah.
It's neat to look at. I don't know. I could even send you, because I took like four or five that day. If I go find the old file, I can show you all of them so you can see where it's not there, it's not there, it's there, it's not there. It's like a brief moment where there's this second, like if the sun was this big, there's this other thing up and over right about there for a brief time.
And is this sun just smaller? Is it further away? Is it in the same system? Is it a reflection?
I think... If I really go all out and just say what I was thinking at the time as I was going, whoa, what if what we think is the sun is a giant crystal and the real sun is much, much farther away and it's shining light into this thing and it's being dispersed over the earth? That was my thought. I don't have a whole lot of like, you know, anything to back that up other than that. Like smoking a little weed and thinking that's pretty cool, man.
that is interesting. Did you guys catch the blood moon last weekend? Were you able to see it?
I was locked out in the clouds. Yeah. What about you, good. Adam?
Nothing here, man. It was pouring rain.
Oh man.
I need to ask my friend happened to be in Santa Cruz at that time. I wonder if he had clear skies.
For sure. Yeah. That morning. Excuse me. I allegedly did some gifting, or someone did some gifting, and because I knew it was full moon that night, and every time we've had a full moon here, they've blocked it out, and this one was an eclipse, lunar eclipse full moon. So I'm like, okay, they're definitely gonna try and fuck around and block it out. So allegedly, gifting took place, and winds came in, kind of blew out the clouds, and we were able to catch the first part of the eclipse.
Yeah.
And the last part too.
In the last part, then some clouds kind of rolled in, but it was such a weird thing to see because the moon was massive and you just see this other object coming into view, blocking out the moon. I've never seen it that big before. So it was like a really cool perspective. And then when you get your binoculars on it, it just really blows it up, and it's, I don't know what that thing is. Like, yeah. It's just so bizarre. That's so bizarre.
When you handed me the binoculars and you were like, go outside and take a look. I went out to take a look and it looked so fake. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, because of the magnification of the binoculars, you're getting right up to the surface of whatever it allegedly is. And it looked like you could literally, if you had an arm long enough, you could have just plucked it out of the sky. Yeah. It didn't even look like it was, what do they say, 90 million miles? It didn't look like that. It looked like it was right there. It freaked me out.
That's so cool that you guys saw some of it. You're the first ones that I've spoken to that actually caught it. I just began assuming, no one's seen it. Like, no one except Neil deGrasse Tyson. Did you see his tweet about it?
No.
Neil deGrasse Tyson tweeted, no, not solar. Lunar eclipses are so incredibly uninteresting that if you weren't told by the news that it was happening, you wouldn't know that it happened.
So he wants us to not care about
that. He wants you to not look at the sky.
I retweeted that saying, so is this guy, is this a person who is encouraging us to look at the sky or not? You know, it's like that. What kind of work from anyone who even remotely is interested in space? To say that a lunar eclipse is so uninteresting that you wouldn't know it was happening if no one told you is that's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
Like mind-boggling. Like it's mind-boggling that anyone that's interested in space, let alone this guy's like supposed to be like, I don't know, the freaking space advocate of the United States or maybe the whole world. I don't know. You know, like isn't he the guy who's supposed to make us all like look at the sky with wonder? No, he wants us to look at our screens without wonder and know that the people who know what's going on in space have it all figured out.
Not I think if you got in the same room with him, you would leave believing in the moon landing.
You think so? That's what happened to Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I know.
The thing is they didn't zoom that camera out far enough. There was actually several people with rifles pointed at Rogan's head during that podcast.
Yeah, one of them was his CIA handler that he has as a guest.
Mike Baker.
Mike Baker. It was just Mike Baker there. Just
Mike Baker. Mike Baker's just standing in the
Mike
corner.
Mike Baker's just standing there with his arms crossed.
Mike Baker is such a fucking tool, man. He comes off, he says he's a retired CIA agent. He just like lives in Idaho and like fishes with his kids and stuff. Like,
bullshit.
You guys should go see him.
No one ever retires from the CIA.
Yeah, no.
That's my point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once
CIA, always CIA.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's the whole Rogan thing is interesting. Was it Neil deGrasse Tyson that also talked about microwaves being just the water molecules vibrating really fast? And that's how the food heats up. I think he might have been the one that said that. And I believe that for the longest time.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Bastard.
Was that on Rogan that he said that? Or is that just something he...
I think
said?
It...
Maybe.
I think it was on Rogan.
Probably.
Yeah.
Is that... That sounded like... Bill Nye might have said something like that probably too. Sounds
probably.
Right up his alley. Man, I'm so glad...
The same things in different coats.
I'm so glad I missed... Bill Nye wasn't like... He was after me. Like I didn't get him as a kid. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he. I think in the Bay Area, did you have him as a little kid, Chud?
Not as a little kid. I would have been too old for him, I suppose. Yeah. Oh. Except that I'm regionally close to him, so he was a big deal around here.
In Seattle?
He was in Seattle. He worked at the Pacific. So I wouldn't say met him, but I saw him once. Me and my sister were there. I was probably, I don't know, 11, something like that. And we were waiting in line for something. And my sister was going, I think that's Bill Nye. That was like in front of us somewhere. And he was wearing a lab coat. And he turned around and put two thumbs up and just said, "Science rules." And walked away.
My God.
Like, whoa, that guy's from TV. You know, it was really cool to us just because he was famous.
At least you know? I had Mr. Wizard, man. That guy was
Mr. Wizard.
Mr. Wizard is the shit, man.
I watch that with my son sometimes.
Yeah, Mr. Wizard's great. It's on YouTube. It. and
it's all on YouTube. I don't know if it's all on YouTube, but as clips, like they have, there are like hundreds of experiments by Mr. Wizard on there.
Yeah,
and it's all it's all household shit. So you watch it and you just look around the house. There's a good chance you can pull off whatever.
See, like a balloon and a straw and some fucking vinegar.
Yep, that kind of stuff.
Experiment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
A potato.
Yeah. Yeah. Bill Nye had that segment. He was big for us in elementary school. Mm-hmm. Like every science class we had, they would put on one video of him, and it was always a different experiment, a different topic. And even through middle school, I think he was still, I remember when the teacher would bust it out, I'd get so excited, like, oh my God, it's Bill Nye. He's such a cool guy. Like, he's not even a scientist.
He's just an engineer.
He's not a scientist, right?
No.
Engineer.
Yeah. So, okay, I should point out too, us knowing he was on TV, it was probably before his TV show that you guys are thinking of. He was on a show called Almost Live that was out of Seattle that aired on Saturday nights. It was like Saturday Night Live, but 25, 30 minutes long. And he was the comedian scientist on that show. So that's who we thought of Bill Nye as.
Wow, don't you usually have to be funny to be a comedian, though?
Yeah, he actually was kind of funny on there. It wasn't always a scientist. He had this one really funny thing. He was the speed walker, and he was a superhero who would people would be like almost out of a cup of coffee, and they'd be like, "Oh man, I don't want to get up for more coffee." And then Speedwalker was Bill Nye would come speed walking up and pour them coffee and speed walk off.
It was
pretty, really stupid.
Pretty
stuff.
Funny to you.
It was funny. I was like 10, 11, 12 years old, man. That was the height of comedy to me. Plus, it was on kind of late at night, you know, so I was probably a little delirious.
You needed some coffee.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. That's probably where he got his start. And then they plucked him from obscurity on some random show from Seattle. And they're like, we're going to put you indoctrinating all these other children around the world, because now everybody knows who Bill Nye the Science Guy is. And everybody knows that stupid experiment with the balloon and the straw, and you tie the balloon to the straw and you blow it up, and that's how rockets work or whatever. Everybody knows that experiment. But he was the guy. He was the one that would teach us all this stuff. I remember exactly what he would talk about in our science class, because I hated the science teacher. We had this very rotund science teacher, very nice woman, but she was very very into science, and she was very dull and boring about it. Whenever they would put on Bill Nye the Science Guy, it's like, all right, I'm gonna learn today. This is gonna be something I'm gonna learn from. And now that I'm an adult, I realize I never learned anything. He taught us nothing.
Yeah, false.
Oh my God, who's the wizard
the people
guy?
But the people that didn't come around to like realizing that think that they know a shit ton about science because they watch Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh yeah.
And maybe they're not looking into the real science.
Who is
putting faith in him? They're putting faith in a guy who says this is the way it is.
Yeah.
That's just like it's an early exercise in appealing to authority.
And just to put that next to our Legs and Buffalo, are you familiar with Mr. Wizard that me and Adam were talking about?
No, that's what I was just asking.
He's
like,
on,
what is Mr.
He's
Wizard?
He's on Nickelodeon. He's a Canadian dude from Nickelodeon.
Yeah, so I just saw him on regular TV because we didn't have Nickelodeon, but for us, it was Canadian TV. Our without cable, the airwaves around here were all Canadian channels. So every morning at 6 a.m., there was Mr. Wizard on. And it was the opposite of what Bill Nye comes on and educates you and tells you exactly how things work.
Yeah, there's like no jokes. It's really low production value. It's like in a normal like suburban kitchen is like where he's doing all this shit.
Just in a house, and
with some multiracial kids.
And it would always start with he'd do something, which would be like what the experiment's going to be. Like he'd have a coffee can, and there'd be a kid in the room, and he'd say, "Hey, you want to see something neat?" And he'd roll the coffee can across the floor, and the can would immediately roll back to him. And the kid would say, "Well, is that because the house is at an angle?" And he'd say, "Well, I don't know. Let's try it somewhere else." And then it would be them on the driveway, and he would do it again, and the can would roll right back to him. And the kid's going, "That's amazing. How is this working?" And then they're in the kitchen, and he has a level to show him the table's totally level. Now I'm going to roll the coffee can, and it rolls right back to me. And the kid's going, how is this working? He's like, let's find out. And as it turns out, he has inside of it, he has two rubber bands tied to an L-shaped piece of pipe that are then being held on the two sides of the coffee can. And when you'd roll it, it was making the rubber band twist up because the pipe was too heavy to bend. And then it would, then the pressure from the rubber band would make it unspin and roll it back. So it's a rollback can, and anybody can do this. You know, and that's what the show was. It was always this like here's something neat. And they'd let the kids try to figure it out. And then when they can't figure it out, he would explain it to them. And then the kids would make it themselves. And then by the end, they have a complete and total understanding of whatever it was. That doesn't sound like Bill Nye.
No.
From my understanding of Bill Nye, I've really barely ever seen Bill Nye.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds way more educational than Bill Nye. Bill Nye was more so just telling you this is how it is, like you said. Yeah. And having a few little experiments that we could try once the video was done. Sometimes the teacher would just have everything set up and we'd do the experiment, but that's interesting. Rollback cannon.
We should, does anybody know how he came to prominence? Like, why was he the one picked out? We should like crowdfund a deep dive.
On Bill Nye?
For Bill Nye?
Yeah.
Or Mr. Wizard, because I wonder how he got there too, but that wouldn't be interesting to anyone who didn't watch Mr.
Wizard was probably a high school science teacher.
He absolutely, if not high school, like whatever level he was a science teacher who had a lot of fun teaching his students, his kids, like how to experiment.
But it'd be interesting to figure out. I'm sure maybe you can figure it out. Why Bill Nye who's an engineer, was tapped to be this dude.
Is he an engineer? Does he have any degrees? I don't know anything. As far as I could, I mean,
I thought he had some sort of degree in like the social sciences.
I'm gonna guess. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because what I would have guessed just off the top of my head without knowing a goddamn thing, was that he got some kind of science degree of some specific type, but ditched it when he finished school and went into acting and got a job for the local and maybe comedian. Maybe he did a little bit of stand up and acting and then got a job on the local comedy show. But maybe the whole cast of the show is like, oh, you're the smart science guy because you have this degree and you talk about science all the time. And that became a personification, and then they hired him, or you know, maybe he put himself out there to try and create his show. And once that show happened, he is what he is. He is that to all the children who watched him.
Yeah,
he is placed there for a reason. I feel like he is. I totally get that improv vibe from him, like exactly how you described. He probably does have like a degree in something. And then he went out and he's the science guy amongst the, you know, the, what's the stupid improv groups out there? Like Second City or, you know, all those stupid
Upright Citizens Brigade,
something like that. And they're like, yeah, you could totally teach kids science and make it fun for them. And he's like, yeah, I could totally do that. And they decided to just put him in there. And now he's just the guy. I would really like to see Bill Nye stand-up comedy though, now that you mentioned that he's probably came from that field, because I think that would be the worst stand-up comedy I've ever seen.
Oh, it's got to be horrible.
Yeah, and it would totally be some of that like 80s brick wall behind him.
Yeah,
like jeans pulled way up into his crotch with a fucking button-down collar shirt like Buffalo's tucked in, like the Seinfeld look, you know.
Yeah. What's the deal with airline food? Yeah.
What's the deal with gravity?
Yeah. Oh my God. Hey guys, you know what really gets me down? Gravity.
<Da-dum-tsh>. Oh my God. So last time, I wanted to ask you a question, Adam, because you guys took off and you went and you bought like your own little corner. You got 15 acres, and we're desperately trying to find like land that's affordable that I don't really want a mortgage. Do you think that it's wise to wait until this crash happens because there seems like a crash coming and then maybe buy up land after that?
Oh, don't ask me about any fucking thing like mortgage shit or anything like that. Like, I don't know. I've really been trying not to pay attention to economics too much. I'm just trying to be prepared for when it does happen. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with interest rates and all that stuff like that. Are interest rates going back up?
Yeah, the Fed announced recently, right? You told me that the interest rate's going to go up. So usually that's what kicks off the crash, because that's exactly how 2008 started.
Yeah. Yeah, we lucked out. We got in right at the right time because we got a lower interest rate than when we bought our house, our first house. So I don't know. Are you guys asking me because I'm the one that tells you to do stuff faster than you want to do it?
Yeah, because you're our boss, apparently. And...
Go get what you want right now. You know, I don't know.
So spend $1 million on land.
Don't spend $1 million. That's retarded. I get stuff sent for me in Idaho all the time, raw land for like $200,000 to $300,000, you know, for a certain amount of acreage. I don't know. Are you guys buying a house? Or you buying raw land?
I'd like to get a house. There, apparently the issue here is water. That's the big issue. Like even though we have a giant lake that has, it's like 26 square miles. Half of it's in Utah, half of it's in Idaho. We have tons of water. We have tons of glacial melt. All the creeks around here are overflowing with water.
How deep are wells out there?
I don't think you have to go that deep for a well. But the thing is, everybody's tapped into city water if you live in the town. If you live within the outskirts of the town, you have to get your own well. And right now, apparently, like, the water is so limited. I mean, you work for the city. You said it's limited for the next 20 years. How many are they allowed? How many hookups are they allowed?
Oh, man. I think they said, like, 19.
19 home hookups for the next 20 years.
The city's only allotted so much water a year. And if you go past that, then you're technically stealing from someone else's source of water. It's kind of ridiculous. All the water around here,
you're gonna need to take.
Yeah,
you're gonna need to drill your own well and not tell anyone. I mean, I don't know. I know that's risky. I'm not really giving that advice, but that does seem like the way things are gonna be.
But you guys can. There's nothing keeping you from being outside of town where you'd be on a well and septic and all that, which is way better than being tied to the city anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's preferred. The problem is, though, the land is super expensive. If it has a house on it, even if it's like a one bedroom, one bathroom house, you're spending like $300,000 to $400,000 for barely an acre, if you get an acre. And so I would rather have more land in a tiny house that we could fix up and build onto than not have any land and a big house. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's just the two of us right now. I know if we have kids, we'll need an extra room, but the prices are so damn high that we've been talking about it, and it's kind of like, why don't we just wait till it crashes again and then buy? Because people will be selling their property hoping that someone will buy it at that point in time, and it'll be a buyer's market.
You guys think you would have enough cash left over from selling your old place and all that stuff to get into something cheap?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like your living situation isn't the worst in the world right now. But it's also thinking like how long you want to hold on to a big wad of cash in this climate, you know, like your money's losing value every single day.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the other thing too, is we don't want it to go completely down the drain. Like if the market crashes, the house values go way down. Well, then the dollar might also crash, so then we're fucked either way. We can't buy anything. But then none of us could buy anything on this call, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, we're all screwed.
I wonder what someone like Peter Schiff would say if you were talking to him.
Buy gold.
Yeah, that's it. No, I mean, as far as realty goes.
That guy just like jacks off thinking about the economy crashing just because he's been predicting it for so long. and he's just hoping that he can say it, that what he said came true. I'm not a fan of that dude.
Like, I agree with you 100%. So within that though, would he think, with his fantasy of it crashing, should people be buying before or after? You know, kind of a basic, what would his basic idea be with his ideal situation of everything crashing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what if it's so bad and it crashes and everybody loses their stuff? They got to come get it from you.
And you know, what if your money that you do have loses all its value? So you can't purchase anything with that money. You know, it's that question, like, do you overpay now, or do you not be able to pay later? You know, neither of those sound ideal, but it's going to be whatever it's going to be. In general, you know, I'm not a great financial advice guy by any means, but in general, I'd say that you guys should follow your heart's desire and not worry about the market, because it's going to do what it's going to do. You know, like, it's outside of any of our hands. Like, and if we sit and make plans around our life based on what the market will do in the future, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it feels like you would never catch up with reality at that point. Like, you're always waiting for what's it going to do next, you know?
That's true. Yeah. And I had thought about, oh, well, why don't we just, if we don't want to buy land, let's buy a bunch of gold. Let's buy a bunch of metal and silver. But just think, you know, talking, we had Clint Richardson. I didn't get to ask your question, Adam. I'm sorry, because he didn't give us a break. But the conversation was basically, if we get gold, well, that's useless too. That metal is useless too, for the most part, because we'd be in a transition kind of an economy, right? We'd be going from cash to digital cash. But then if the cash itself loses complete value, there's no way to trade gold with somebody. There's no way to trade silver with somebody. It's not like somebody's going to bust out the scale and the abacus and they're going to be like, oh, I know exactly how much this is worth, because we'd be comparing it mentally to the dollar, that the dollar at that point wouldn't exist at that point. So it's really kind of, it's up in the air and we don't know what's going to happen. We're kind of hoping for the best. We've been looking into maybe buying raw land and then putting a house on it. Cause that seems to be a lot more affordable to do that. You could get like a 4 or 5 bedroom house if you wanted that for like $150,000, which isn't that bad. It's just the land is so expensive that we couldn't like get rid of this trailer and put the house on this, because city ordinances, you have to have 90 foot of frontage and we're on like a quarter acre. So it's like, either way, we're going to spend a lot of money and hope that our house gets built while the economy is transitioning from cash to whatever we end up going to. We have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the problem with moving to Idaho, because everybody wants to live there now, you know?
Yeah. We're full though. We're not allowed. Yeah. People aren't allowed to move here anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to live in Idaho, but I wouldn't want to be sitting outside when it's 40 degrees and the end of May. So I don't know, hasn't been much better here, but I like where I live. It's pretty cool here. It's not as bad as everybody says, and we got our place for a decent amount of money. You know, it'd be expensive to people other places in the country, but we were able to make it work. You know, our mortgage is like $1,600 a month, so we're all good. I used to pay $1,300 for a studio apartment in East Oakland.
Oh shit. Damn, and how much more land do you have, or just a few more $100?
Well, I had 400 square feet at that time, and now I have 15 acres.
It's a better deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Hoping for the best, but all we can do is just prepare, like you said, and keep stashing that alcohol and cigarettes. I'll never forget when you... I'll never forget when you said that, Adam, when you said alcohol and cigarettes are going to be a good means of currency.
Yeah, get lighters.
Yeah.
Buy a 5-pack of lighters every time you go to the store.
That's a good idea too. Yeah.
That's what Selco said. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all we can do is just prepare.
Garbage bags, lighters, booze.
Weed. Dispensary yeah, weed.
Listerine. Go to Tractor Supply, get antibiotics or get fish antibiotics and shit like that.
I just remembered though, as I said that, weed's probably still illegal in Idaho.
Yeah.
Cause I was over in Coeur d'Alene. My brother-in-law is moving to Coeur d'Alene any day now. And,
Lanny's brother, the guy I met.
Yeah. Yeah. He's moving over there. And, but about, 2 years ago I was over there and it was said a couple times, like by people like, yeah, it's insane that we could go to jail for something right here. But if we drive this far that way, we can buy it at any corner on any street that we look at, which is, as borders are always a strange concept when you look at things like that, you know. It's a magical line. Here it's okay. Here you're going to get your skull cracked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid. They just had a primary election here and I don't remember who won or whatever, but one of the candidates is a pro-marijuana Republican, which that in Idaho, that's like unheard of. And I think when the whole like tally came in, out of the whole state, she got like 3,000 votes. And I was like, oh, we got a long way to go, Idaho.
It's weird. It's very strange because Washington and Oregon is like, I don't know. What's the big deal?
Yeah. And there's medical marijuana in Utah, which is right below us.
There's
yeah,
no,
so you're like even surrounded by marijuana, but not within those borders.
Not legally within these borders.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously. Yeah, because, you know, before
so do you buy your...
years ago or whatever, there was no weed here or in Oregon. None. Zero. You couldn't find it.
Yeah, yeah. So you buy your weed, like, from a drug dealer?
We don't buy weed.
Your cannabis?
We don't buy cannabis.
Ah.
Not in the state of Idaho. We don't
you
buy
would
anything.
Never do that in the state of Idaho.
We would never do that in the state of Idaho. Mm-mm. No, we are law-abiding residents.
So you like go like knock on some like dude's like creepy house's door?
No, if you do that here, you get meth. You don't get weed.
Where do you get the weed from?
We don't get it from Idaho.
Oh, you get it from Utah.
But you would never drive across a border.
Never.
Get that LDS weed.
Get that Mormon weed.
That spiritual shit, man.
They don't call it. What's that? What's that plant? You like Mormon tea?
Oh yeah, Mormon tea.
That's really Mormon tea. It's weed.
Yeah.
Stupid. Oh, desert plant. Yeah, it's we'll just say there's a stockpile for now from our old life.
Got it.
Yeah. But we don't have a source out here just yet.
We probably won't get one.
Probably won't get one out here.
It's just not, it's not a thing. People don't talk about it.
How about pulling it out of the ground?
I mean, if we were just outside limits of town, because we're literally a block away from the sheriff right now. He lives a block away from us.
Just tell him it's tomato plants.
It's tomato plants and it's just not producing
tomato
any tomatoes.
Tomato plants, mom.
It's just having it's a real CBD. Hard time with CBD's legal.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing. It's because we have a bunch of Airbnbs around us. And I guess once in a while you'll get that smell. So people will do it, but it's.
No one talks about it.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Came up a few times during that short time I was in Coeur d'Alene. But I don't know. That was touristy, whatever.
That's because that's new Los Angeles up there. You got Coeur d'Alene, which is like the next Los Angeles, and then Boise, which is Los Angeles now.
Yeah, that's the only place like in Idaho and Montana that we saw people wearing masks. When we were on our road trip,
dude, it was awesome being there because like I can't remember if it was 2020 or 2021. It must have been 2020, And it was like the first place that we had been where there weren't masks.
Yeah.
Like it was like we like crossed the border and we were just like, oh my gosh, look at all these faces. And it was the day after, the week after, it was really close to the time that they had first started some kind of mandate or something like that in Coeur d'Alene. And like we went to restaurants and stuff, and every one of them, like the people had them around their neck, and they were coming up and they're going, do you want me to put this up? And we're going, no, like, please don't. I'd appreciate that. But yeah, because everyone, it was like brand new to anyone who was wearing them at that time. They were going, oh, I can't believe they're making us do that. Whereas, you know, we were coming from Washington, and specifically like the area of Washington that we were in, it was just like, you couldn't imagine anyone not wearing a mask for the most part. So yeah, that was a really nice, that's why we went there. We went to those water slides there. Silverwood.
Yeah. It's a cool place. I mean, the whole state of Idaho that I saw was fucking awesome, but yeah, they have a big, big no agenda meetup up there in Coeur d'Alene.
Is that once a year, every year?
I think every month.
Oh,
they do them every month.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they do them every month in Portland too. I'm gonna go to Higher Side Chats meetup next week.
Nice.
Oh yeah, is that what's the name of the place it's at?
Fire on the Mountain, Buffalo Wings.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Wait, that I feel like we went to that place in Colorado. Is that a chain?
Fire in the Mountain.
Do you know if that's a chain, like Fire in the Mountain, Buffalo Wings?
There's three of them in Portland that I know of, but that's the only ones I know about.
I feel like we went to one in Denver, but I could be wrong.
You're the wing person. I don't know.
I don't know.
I love wings.
Me too.
Boneless or bone-in?
I would have thought she was the legs person.
I actually like the legs.
You're fucking... When Charles was born, did that joke making ability just did it double?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It just it doubled. It went tenfold.
Okay. I love it.
You guys want a really good dad joke?
Yeah.
Do it.
All right. What did communists use to light their homes before candles?
Money.
Light bulbs.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's such a dad joke.
It's a dad joke for our type of people.
Yeah. I like that one.
I like that one. That is good. We should probably wrap it up there.
I hate communism. That's a good place to wrap it.
Yeah. No fucking hippies. No fucking commies. Fucking weed. Weed is fucking gayer than aliens.
Or space.
Weed'll give you pot tits.
Pot tits? What the hell? Yeah.
It turns men into women.
Yeah, it's like when you eat too much soy.
Oh shit!
Is that a thing?
Is that a thing? I didn't even know that was a thing. You're scaring me.
I'm gonna write that down so I can Google it.
Pot tits.
Yeah. No. It's from an old Sarah Silverman. She had a TV show. And her neighbors, Brian Posehn was one of them, and either these super gay, fat, obese dudes, and they were convinced that they were growing tits because they were smoking too much pot. They were getting pot tits.
Yeah, that's a good. It's a good show. Sarah Silverman
It was great.
She goes full blackface in it. You know.
Yep. Oh shit! Is that the show?
Everyone
that she did
should
that?
Watch that show. I bet that it's impossible to find. I have a DVD of the first season. Yeah, she wears blackface. She is absolutely insistent that that Jews have it worse than blacks in America. I mean, there are so many things in there that she says, and they act out that like just what she's ashamed of her own program. I'm sure of it.
There was this one where she was getting an STD test, and the doctor came in and was like, "How many sexual partners have you had?" And she's like, "4." In my front or in my back? Yeah. And the doctor goes, I don't know, both. And then he looks at the sheet and he goes, it's the same number. And she's like, yeah, I'm OCD like that.
Oh my God.
Were, there were things at the time, they were outrageously amazing. And now I'm sure I haven't watched it in our woke era, but I do have that DVD kicking around somewhere. I should pull it out and throw it on because it'll be one of those like blow your fucking mind that anyone would be joking like that. You know, like nowadays, no one jokes like that. And the fact that it's her and all the other actors that are on there, all those other actors, everyone who was on that show are all woke, total pieces of shit now. And like, nothing that was on that show was woke. It was the opposite of woke.
Like the Man Show.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Shit. Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel hosted that, and he's super woke with his freaking show. He's so... It's funny, we were talking on Feed the Beauty. I think we were talking with Lanny, and do you remember when she talked about spitting on Jared Leto? Jared Leto is coincidentally the only guy that Jimmy Kimmel will not allow back on his show because he said that he's a piece of shit. Jimmy Kimmel said that Jared Leto's a piece of shit. And I'm like, wow, for a piece of shit to tell another piece of shit that he's a piece of shit, that guy must be a real big piece of shit.
Wow. That's insane.
And your wife spit on him.
That's
a good woman right there.
Pretty cool. I'm a lucky man.
Such a random story. But yeah.
When are you going to spit on Jared Leto?
If he ever comes around, try to take some Mormon kids.
And you can't wait for him to come around. You're going to have to go find him.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We'll go to that Laurel Canyon facility that he owns.
On my way.
All right, guys. Well, I don't know if Adam or Chud have anything else they want to discuss, but I think we can end it on spitting on Jared Leto and calling him a piece of shit. That's a good one. That's a good place to end it.
I think that's pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah.
tell our listeners, and of course your listeners too, what's coming up for your podcast, and I don't know, what do you have lining up for your life
coming next few up, months? I got a bunch of yard work to do. Got some shit about Orthodox Christianity tomorrow. We got some shit about Eyes Wide Shut on the 26th. We got the great Charlie Robinson on the 27th. And a whole bunch of other stuff. Satanic ritual abuse, all sorts of weird shit. If anybody else has shows and they want... I want Chud X and I to be known as the guys, if you just want to get into some real weird, crazy shit with not a lot of evidence, give us a call.
No evidence needed.
Yeah, lots of speculation. It could be a
sub-podcast. No
evidence. I came up, we were talking about some ancient aliens and Egyptians, and I came up with the thought on a show for this other guy's show a couple days ago that maybe pyramids were ancient alien bathhouses because aliens are so gay, and the aliens all died because of ancient AIDS, and then the Egyptians found them, and that's where we ended up.
That's brilliant.
And I believe in the firmament.
No evidence needed.
Ancient AIDS, dude.
Ancient AIDS.
I love it.
I fucking love that.
I'm dying a little bit.
That'll be the title of this episode, Ancient AIDS.
Ancient AIDS.
Cool.
With Chud and Adam.
I'm working on a guest for us, Adam, that I haven't told you about, that wants to talk about Egypt. And Egypt's connection to Arizona.
Oh, is it the what's his name? I know who it is. I think
Arizona. We've talked to him before, and but it's going to be about the GE Kincaid exploration of the Grand Canyon, back at the I can't remember if it's late 19th or early 20th century. Some crazy shit in that though. So. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it later.
Well, guys, I'd love to sit around and fucking stroke our dicks some more, but I gotta go. My woke sister-in-law is coming over. I gotta go make some pork chops.
Make sure she eats them all. All right.
I'm out.
All right.
Take it easy, guys. Love you guys.
Peace.
Peace, Adam. Well, guys, this has been fun.
Yeah, this has been great. Appreciate you coming on always.
For sure.
Always good to see you, and miss your other half, but we'll talk soon.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess we'll go visit you at some point.
Yeah. She told me you guys have been talking about, having a little back and forth about you guys coming out here.
Yeah. It's a 2-day drive, but I think it'll be much needed and great.
I think that would be awesome. She was saying, man, I wish they weren't so far away so that we could invite them. I was like, just throw it out there. Like, why not? You know, I mean, you know, who knows? She might've thrown it out to you and you guys were going, oh yeah, we have to be out that way for one reason or another anyway. But it'd be amazing if you guys could find the time. You know, I'm sure it's a long drive, but it's probably a lot of beautiful places you could stop, you know, find a nice place to camp on the way, something like that.
For sure. That's kind of the plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
Nice.
We look forward to it.
See what the future holds, but I have high hopes that we will meet in real life very soon.
Yes.
It'll happen.
Yeah. It'll be nice.
One way or another. Actually, I'm not sure where you guys are off the top of my head in
southeast Idaho. Corner of Idaho, literally the very southeast corner.
East. Okay. That's pretty far. I'm probably going to have to be going to Coeur d'Alene, at least once or twice in the next couple months. So, but that's a lot farther.
Well, one of the routes we actually go through Coeur d'Alene, cause you can actually cut up through Montana and then you cut up through the top of Idaho rather than going through the south of Idaho. And that's that's the route that's like almost 16 hours. So we were going to take 2 days anyways. If you're there, we could stop and come back on the way together, but.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
A little convoy action.
There you go.
I'll probably be in crazy expensive U-Haul. That's the thing is part of this, all this like traveling stuff is like gas. What's gas like over there? Is it as bad as it is here?
It was $5.39 last week. And this week it was.
It was $4.39.
Oh, $4.39. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, $4.39.
Yeah. I think it jumped up to like $4.56 or something.
Yeah.
So it's still under $5, but it's still a lot.
That's the lower end over here. Like I go out to a reservation to get fuel usually, and it's a bit cheaper over there. But while most of our, like in the city here, people are paying over $5, we're paying over $5, while I was paying a little over $4. And now I'm getting real close to $5, like $4.75 is like the cheapest I can see it right now. And in the city, it's well over $5. It's like $5.12, $5.35. Like, I just can't imagine. And there's cars there filling up. I'm just going, I don't know. I think I'd just quit driving at that point. Of course I won't, because I have to go earn Matrix dollars so I can afford gas. so I will still be driving, but it is making me second think. Like I'm out there on my lawnmower for 4 hours straight and I'm going, do I really need a mowed lawn? I don't know. That Hank Hill inside of me is like, yeah, you do.
I'm going to get you a scythe so you can just hand cut your lawn.
I have one.
Oh shit. There you go.
When we first moved out here, I had a scythe and I was like, you know what? I don't need a tractor or anything because I'm going to take care of all of these fields by myself. By the time I get halfway done, I'm going to be so in shape and I'm going to be doing this like nobody's business. Yeah, it didn't happen. The time consumption of that alone was just like, I know I had great grandparents who did that on this same land. And I was trying to bring what they did, but I don't know. It's a different time. I don't have the time that they had or something. Maybe it's just the will, maybe it's the strength, but that seems like a impossible task. It is like you would have to strip the entire world away from me to be able to do that.
We take existence away from you, and that's literally all you do is you scythe the grass.
Then I could do it.
Man, that just, our grandparents must have been, great grandparents must have been buff, because that is just to think of doing so many acres with that one tool, and I'm sure there's multiple people doing it, I would hope, but it's crazy. I don't know.
That's why you just get goats. It's easier.
Yeah.
I watched a couple of videos about it on YouTube to try and like hone my skills and stuff. And it's like, I could see like, yeah, you know, if I keep doing it, I'd get faster, but fast with that is still, it's just, it's not fast.
Yeah. I saw this video of this old lady using it, and she was like a boss, just going, cutting through grass in her field like nothing. And she had this rhythm to it, and she just kept going and going. So if you get the right rhythm, but it's still a lot. It's a lot of work.
I'm certain you got to get the right rhythm, and it's probably something, because you wouldn't be doing it every day. So say if you had to scythe like 5 acres of field, which is so much, it would be like a week of you doing that for 8 hours a day, like a 40-hour deal where you're just, yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. And you'd have to squeeze in your other chores with it and everything. I mean, it still seems impossible, but when I start framing it like that, it's like, yeah, I mean, if you had to do it, you would do it.
It's true. Yeah. You'd figure it out. Yeah. And yeah, speaking of chores, we got to clean out the chickens.
Yeah.
Their wood shavings are getting stinky, and we just got to, I can't wait for them to go outside.
Oh, they're inside your house.
They are.
We took them outside today.
We got 18 little ones in our house right now. And today was the first time I walked in. I went, oh, I'm starting to smell them. Like, I got to get these guys out of here soon, because it sneaks up on me. Like, they're fine. You know, they're fine. And then, like, now I'm starting to smell it. It's going to be like 2 days from now, I'm going to be like walking in and being like, oh, I got to open a window. I can't breathe in here. It's just, it's more than the smell. It becomes stuffy. It's dusty. It's the air quality seems to go down.
Right.
But
yeah, yeah, we have them near a couple windows, so I just leave those open like all day, and yeah, they don't seem bothered by it. And it's not as bad as I thought it would be, but, yeah, as the egg layers are starting, we're going to start taking them outside.
We took them outside today.
During the day, so they'll be out there during the day, and then at night they're relaxed. But the meat birds, they still have a few weeks.
You guys got one of those? You got some kind of like corral that you can just set up in the grass or wherever?
Yeah,
have them out there for a couple hours and bring them back in.
Pretty much
an old dog wire pen and a hockey net that we put on top.
There you go. That's perfect.
Yeah,
yeah, just something to start getting them used to it. I have started my method now is I tend to take my whole brooder box out and just take the lid off of it. And then, I mean, maybe I'll do what you guys like put them outside inside of, like, I'll just set up a little piece of fencing or something just to keep them in to do it. Like if I have to clean a whole bunch of sticky butt kind of stuff, like I'll bring them outside to do that. But then eventually I have the first coop I built was this A-frame. I might have described it to you before. It was supposed to be a chicken tractor, but I kept hammering more and more wood onto it until it's so heavy that once I attached wheels, it just snapped the portion that was supposed to be holding it up. That sits in one spot now, and that's my first stage. And I just take a whole brooder box and start taking the lid off and letting them hang out in there. And once they can get out of the brooder box themselves, I say that's where they're gonna stay until they're big enough to get them out of there and move them into the big girl coop. I was almost going to say big boy, but we work so hard to only refer to them as female when they're small, because we want them to all be females.
And you don't want to misgender your bird, you know, because then they'll have a complex.
Oh yeah,
because
they give a shit about that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, that'll mess up their hormones and the meat's
Dude,
just
no,
gonna taste
roosters
terrible.
Roosters can too lay eggs. They if a hen identifies as a rooster, that doesn't mean that she can't lay an egg. He can't lay an egg.
Yeah. Yeah, roosters can be birthing persons too.
Oh, could you imagine? Just think about that. Take that type of woke stuff and apply it to an animal. And all of a sudden you just sound as crazy as those people sound to us all the time, but they don't seem to realize it. But if they heard someone talking about chickens like that, they'd be like, oh no, you don't understand science.
Exactly. Oh my God. That's so fucked up. I'm going to think about that now.
Yeah. Let's not misgender our birds. We'll just call them all ladies.
I like keep that mystery chick that we don't know if it's a male or female. I keep saying that little guy because
he's like Rudy. He's like a little runt.
He's but maybe it is, hoping it is a female, and then we'll have 13 layers.
Or we'll have two roosters, which won't be that bad.
No.
I mean, two roosters out of 12 birds.
I just want that 13.
I know, yeah. I know.
See, that's my problem, is I want to call them all little guys. Oh, come here, little guy. You know, like I'm always wanting to refer to them as boys for some reason when they're little. But really, I want them to all be female. So it's like I try to catch myself, but then I'll just turn around and do it.
Exactly. Oh, man.
We'll manifest their gender.
That's it.
I'll just keep calling them bitches.
There you go. Oh, that's it. I'm from now on. All the chicks are just little bitches. Yeah. Oh, you little bitches.
Come get some food.
You guys want to get out in the sun, you little bitches?
Oh my God, that's great. I'm going to do that tomorrow when I take them out.
Oh, my God.
Like, come out in the sun, little bitches.
Oh, look at them. They're falling down. Oh, cute little bitches.
Oh, my God. This has gone downhill.
Yeah, we should probably end this before.
Okay.
Before it gets worse. Hey, you guys want one song recommendation?
Yeah.
Please.
Please.
Okay, it's a really old song. It is called, the band is called The Fugs, F-U-G-S. And the song is called CIA Man. It's from 1965. And I warn you, though, this band, they are communists. They are openly communists, but they're from New York. It's 1965, less than 20 years after the creation of the CIA. And listen to that song. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay. We're going to listen to it and put it on the list.
Damn, you hyped it up. I'm excited. We're going to put it on right now. As we're cleaning out the little bitches.
Warning, and... though, it's going to sound like shit. They're horrible musicians in 1965. They got much better. There's better versions all the way into the 90s. But they're communists. They're like in some of their songs, they will say like, read Leon Trotsky. They're like straight up about it. But I grew up on this band, and it's absolutely the CIA man. It shows that there were critical thinkers of this stuff all the way back then. Even if they weren't necessarily on our side, they were aware of how messed up the CIA was.
Right on. We'll check that out.
For sure.
All right.
Thank you for that.
Yep. Awesome. All right.
Thank you for sticking around. And
oh, yeah. For all the listeners and watchers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And their dog who just woke up.
I heard that. That was definitely a waking up ear flap.
You hear that? she's hungry now. Uh-huh. All right. Well.
All right.
Till next time.
Have a good night, guys.
You too.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the False Reality Check podcast. There's many ways to support us, but please subscribe to us on Rockfin.
Yes, Rockfin is only $9.99 per month or $99 a year, and you get our premium content, our live streams, and other great content from the free thinking community, MMA, comedy, so much good stuff on there.
And you can throw us a couple of dollars for tip if you'd like.
Yes, please. We would love that.
You can also find us and all of our content on falserealitycheck.com. You can find our podcasts at anywhere podcasts are found, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, or again, go to our website, falserealitycheck.com for our RSS feed.
Yes, we're also on Twitter and Instagram at FRCpod.
And we're at Gab and Float at False Reality Check. But don't feel like you got to reach out to us there. You can also reach out to us through email at frcpodcast@protonmail.com. We tried our best to answer and read all of our emails from fans. And we love you guys for reaching out to us.
Yes. Thank you, listeners. And keep listening.
Definitely. Check us also out. You can reach out to us on Telegram. We're also on Telegram at False Reality Check.
Yes, I think that's it.
Alrighty.
Until next time.
Peace.